If you have your Bibles, if you would please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. And we're going to read through verse 16. And the word says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." In the Amplified Bible, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize and understand our weaknesses and temptations, but one who has been tempted, knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect as we are, yet without committing any sin. Therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace, that is, the throne of God's gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find his amazing grace to help in the time of need and appropriate blessing coming just at the right moment." Amen. If there's a title that I would like to share on today, it says, "When you walk with the King, you can receive the help that you need." When you walk with the King, you can receive the help that you need. Our pastor has been doing a series of walking with the King for those that are visiting with us. And so I try to stay in the vein of the house. And this scripture just lets us know that our high priest here, which is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we're talking about Jesus here. It tells us that he is not removed, so far removed that he doesn't understand what you and I go through. The Bible says he was tempted in all points. So all means what? All. So no matter what you and I are contending with, I tell you, I am not speaking just to be up here this morning. I am going through the very trial of my life even as I speak. But I want you to know that I count him yet faithful. He is not a man so far removed that what I'm going through or what you are going through on today that he cannot relate. I want you to know that he can relate to what we're going through. And for my Greek scholars out here in the audience today, that word tempted in the Greek word, and I'm going to spell it for you, it is P-E-I-R-A-Z-O. Again, that's P-E-I-R-A-Z-O. Can you pronounce that, Dr. Hall? Parazo, okay. Dr. Hall says parazo, so we're going to go with parazo on this morning. That is the Greek word for tempted, amen. And that word tempted means to test or tempt. We go through the very trials of our life. The kingdom, excuse me, when we go through the very trials of our life, amen, these are tests. These are temptations, things that we go through that Jesus, amen, our high priest, he in some point in time went through himself. If you go with me to Luke chapter 4, verse 2. Amen. We're walking with the King. We can get the help we need. Amen. We're going to get the help because he's not so far removed, amen, from what we are dealing with or what we go through, amen. And so he's what an excellent helper, amen, on today that we can get what we need because he's been through it, amen. Amen. Luke 4 and verse 2. It says, "Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, and the devil may say unto you, and the devil may say unto me," at times when we're going through the very trials of our life, even the testimonies that we heard today, you know, "Don't be afraid to go get your mammogram. Don't be afraid to go get tested." See, had not they went to the doctor, they would have never known there was something going on in their bodies. Amen. And you have more of a percentage of making it if you get diagnosed early. Amen. So you can get the treatment you need. Amen. To go with, because trust me, God is ultimately the healer. There are other women that was diagnosed early, that was diagnosed in the middle, was diagnosed at the end, and they're not here today. But they, amen, not only did when they received the word, they did what they needed to do. They went through the chemo. They went through what they needed to go through. And all the while they was going through, God's healing virtue was touching them and causing them to be here today. So I want to dispel the spirit of fear. Amen. You should receive faith after hearing those powerful testimonies, even on today. And Jesus, excuse me, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then he goes on to say, as it goes down a little further, the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And so I'm giving you these examples, amen, because faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When the very trials come in our lives, the enemy comes and he tell us what we can't do. He tell us what we should do. He puts us in a position, amen, to try to get us to compromise. And that's why we have to have the word of God on the inside of us, because each time the word God came back, Jesus came back with the word. Amen. He said, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So whatever you are going through on today, know that man doth not live by bread alone. All you got to do is speak it. All you got to do is speak to get the help that you need. Amen. I don't know about you on today, but for some of us, you may be in a season of reprieve. You may be in a season where you may not be going through anything. But I guarantee you, you better take notes on today. Because if you live, if you continue to live, amen, we go through trials. We go through tribulation. We go through season. The Bible says there's a time and a place for all things. Amen. There are different seasons that we go through. But I'm finding out as I've been in this thing some time that, yes, I have a time that I can relax and I can kick back and I can rejoice. But then there are other times when I go through the storm, the very trial of life, and then he brings me through. Our late bishop used to tell us, he said, don't be so quick to come out of one thing or one trial, because no sooner than you come out of one trial, you may enter into another. So whatever season that you're in on this morning, I want you to relax your whole. I want you to see yourself being perfectly positioned in God, knowing that he's well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, because a power that's working in you is no matter what you are dealing with, no matter what you are going through on today, you got to know whose you are. You are the child of God. And if he's for you, who can be against you? Amen. Our pastor told us, he said that the kingdom of God exists and it is independent of this world system. According to Matthew 6:6-10, John 18-36. I'm not going to read it for sake of time this morning. And we've heard it before clearly explained through our leader. We are in this world, but not of this world. Therefore, our mode of operation is not congruent within the earth realm. Meaning, when the scripture says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which come to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Why am I dealing with this? Seem like they don't go through nothing, you know. Seem like everything is just working out in their lives. Don't nobody understand my story. Nobody understand what I'm dealing with, what I'm going through. Why is it so strange? But the Bible says, think it not strange. Amen. It's part of the process. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Know this morning that I help is coming from the Lord. So when you and I, and what I'm going to share with you today, I'm going to talk about how God helps us, amen, because we are walking with him, and he desires to help us, and we can receive the help we need. But I want you to know that, first of all, like I said, think it not strange that you're going through these things. Don't walk around with your head down and, oh God, why me? No, lift your head up. Because evidently what we're going through, evidently we can handle it. And it's for the glory that shall be revealed. You know, we need to stop, you know, and I'm preaching to myself this morning. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself this morning. Amen. We have to stop, you know, yes, those things may hit us and take us by surprise, but we have to know who we are. Amen. We have to know what is qualifying us for. We have to realize that there are lives that we are going to touch for the glory of God. And if we go through nothing, how can we minister to others? Amen. If we sit on the sidelines of happy-go-lucky, if we sit on the sidelines, amen, and never want to go through anything, we think because we go through in our marriage that we have a bad marriage. We think because we go through in our finances that something's wrong with us. We think because we lose our job and can't keep a job, oh, woe is me, something is going on. But God said, no, I'm going to show you that you're in this world, but you're not of this world. And God said, I can do the, he said, I can take the things and confine the wise. You know, like Pastor said on today, you know, stop looking at our ability. Yes, go to school. Yes, get your education. Yes, do all those things. But know that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Apart from Christ putting a hand of favor upon our lives, we can do nothing. And so I'm speaking to those, no matter what state you're in, if you would just stop looking at the realm that you're in, this earthly realm, and come over with me and know that you are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, knowing that you are the King's kid, and whatever you have need of, you can receive the help you need on today. All you have to do is open up your mouth and ask. Hallelujah. All you have to do is open up your mouth and ask. Amen. When we look at the Lord helping us, and we must realize our first response to any test is should be to inquire of the Lord. We need to first inquire of the Lord. Please go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'm not going to be before you long. And the Bible says, verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea of this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And so let me just back up. Let me go back to chapter 18, and you don't have to go there. See, Jehoshaphat, when he received this word, I'm quite sure Jehoshaphat said, you know, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Because when we go through, there was a time when Pastor and I, it just seemed like we was immune to going through. That was my testimony. Because if it wasn't one thing, it was another. No sooner than we would come out of one trial and we learn about God, we didn't even have a chance to breathe. It seemed like we was going through something else. And then he took us through something else. And then he took us through something else. And we still go through things, you know, something else. Amen. So we don't look like what we go through, but thank God we are going through. But here's Jehoshaphat. In chapter 18, in verse 3, it says, and Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, would thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? Now, he was trying to get with Jehoshaphat because he said, now we need to go and take care of these boys over here. They're causing a little trouble. We need to go take care of them. But I thank God for Jehoshaphat, because he was a king that learned to inquire of the Lord. And in verse 4 said, and Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. And so he didn't want to go in the power of his might. He didn't want to go because they were coming together and it seemed like that they would outnumber the enemy. But he said, we want to inquire of the Lord, shall we do this thing? And when we go through the very trials of our life, we need to take a step back and inquire of the Lord and say, God, how should I handle this? What are you saying in this situation? Don't take it personal. Just be say, God, this enemy seems like he's outnumbering me. I do not know what to do in this situation. And before I go in the arm of my flesh, before I go because I feel I can handle this situation, before I go and say, well, I got enough money to take care of this bill. See, sometimes we get unexpected bills that come, and we think because we got money in the savings, we need to go take care of it. But I would challenge you this morning to begin to inquire of the Lord. There was a time when we would save every month, and no sooner than the end of the month, all that we had saved, we had to go right back out the door. But you want, one day I got tired in my spirit, man. And I said, you know what? I am tired. I want to, God, I experience you as a God more than enough. But now I want to experience the God of abundance. I want to experience the God that when I save money, it can stay in my account. And I began to speak that thing. I said, I don't care what's going to come up this month. Nothing is going out of our savings. That we save, we're going to continue to save. And not only are we going to save, it's going to continue to build. And I begin to speak to our finances. And I want you to know, yes, things came. And they came and they went. And I did not go in my, we did not go in our savings. And we did not touch it. We left it there. So sometimes, like I said, we are in this world, but not of this world. The power is in our words, and we frame our world by the words of our mouth. But if we don't, we can't receive the help if we don't ask for the help. And so I said, God, I'm tired of this. And you know, I want you to know that he heard my prayer. He heard my prayer. So I said, ooh, we got money left in the bank. Month one went by. Month two, we got some more money in the bank. Month three came, we got some more money in the bank. See, it ain't about how much you save. It's the fact that you save. There was a time in our life that we can only save $12 a month. We have got with our financial counselor. We had got to the place that we had got tired of getting paid. And then we would, at that time, McDonald's was a luxury for us. So we would go to McDonald's and we would look at each other and eat our French fries. And we would commune with one another. Antonio know how we started. And we would talk to each other. But then we would sit out and do our bills. And we found out even we didn't have enough. So we got kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired. So we went to go see Elder Thompson over at Evangel years ago. We were a young couple, and we said, you know, this is our budget. This is what we make. We both working part-time. We both in school, but we can still make it. You know, we had, my husband had saved when he was in the military, and so we had a nice little, you know, cushion because he had some bonds and things like that. And so we were, like, trying to work some things out, and at the end of our lesson or session with him, we could only save $12 a month. And so we said, okay, we're going to be good stewards, and we're going to save $12 a month. Yes, it was depressing. Yes, it was like, oh, wow, $12 a month. But I want you to know, because we stayed faithful with that $12 and we took care of all of our other bills. So once one bill was taken care of, I'm telling you, it wasn't even a year, 2 years. We were able to save $500 a month. $500 a month. See, don't despise the day of small beginning. And so when we begin to save $500 a month, then we was like, we can do some things. We can do some things. And then we started a business, and we was at our banker, and we were trying to look at, you know, opening up a bank account. And little did we know that he was like, do y'all want to buy a house? And we was like, you know, hadn't thought about that. We just trying to start a business. We're saving a little money. And so he handed us a card, and next thing you know, we were talking to a realtor. And a few months later, we built our first home brand new. Amen. Just being obedient, saving $12 a month to $500 a month to being able to buy a house. And the rest has been history. Amen. So I don't know what. I wasn't in my notes to share this morning. I just wanted to encourage somebody that we have the power. We have to just begin to speak it into the atmosphere. But here's Jehoshaphat. Back to the story. He was a man that learned to inquire of the Lord. And so King Ahab said, well, yeah, there's a prophet. You know, he had all these prophets, and he had them come in, and they began to prophesy. Yes, go. You're going to go. You're going to come back, and we're going to have the victory, and we can do this. But Jehoshaphat, something didn't sit right in his spirit. He said, is there another prophet? See, don't always look for somebody that's going to tell you something good. Amen. Sometimes it's somebody can give you a word of warning. And so don't take it personal. Don't get, you know, an attitude or who do they think they are trying to tell me something. See, when you ask and somebody tell you the truth, don't get mad. If you don't want to hear the truth, then don't ask. Well, they inquired of the Lord. And so all the prophets was prophesying well. But Jehoshaphat said, is there somebody else that, you know, is there another prophet? And so there was one prophet that Ahab said was like, yeah, this is one prophet. He comes in, but he never prophesies anything good. And so for the sake of time, his servant went and got that prophet. And in the midst, when his servant went to go talk to the prophet, he said, now look, all the other prophets said, you know, they prophesied well. This is what's going on. So you just need to come in and say the same thing so we can go ahead and take it, these brothers. So he comes in and he was, you know, he listened to him. He was like, yes, go forth. All shall be well. And King Ahab looked at him, and he was like, now, are you sure you're telling me the truth? Because you never prophesied anything well. And in verse 16, the prophet said, well, I did see Israel scattered upon the mountain, the sheep that they had no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his own house. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, didn't I tell you he wasn't going to prophesy anything good? He never prophesies anything good. And again he said in verse 18, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne, and all the hosts of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall to Ramoth Gilead? And one spake, saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all the prophets. So you have to be careful. When the Bible talks about having itching ears, running to and fro. Well, let me go over here and see what they're saying. But let me see what this person is saying. You'll come in contact with a lying spirit because you will itch long enough, amen, till you start scratching long enough, amen, till you hear what you want to hear. But that might not be the plan that God has for your life. And so we see in this situation here that, you know, the king got upset with him and told him to go back home and, told him to tell the king to lock him up, put him in jail, and I'll see him once we, you know, finish taking care of these boys. And so King Ahab, he told Jehoshaphat, even after he heard the word of the Lord, he said, I'm going to disguise myself. I'm going to go in as just, you know, one that's fighting. Now, you go ahead and you stay in your kingly apparel, but I'm going to be as one that's fighting. And so they go to battle even after they heard the word of the Lord. He went to battle anyway. And so I'm getting excited. Now, the king of Syria, in verse 30, had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight ye not with small or great, save only the king of Israel. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, that is the king of Israel. And therefore they compassed. They saw him in his kingly attire, so they passed him by. But in the midst of the battle, guess who was killed? Not Jehoshaphat, Ahab, the one that disguised himself. He was killed in battle. He didn't hear the word of the Lord, but he was killed in battle. And so the Bible says that, you know, Jehoshaphat, what did he do? This is so key. I'm sorry, let me find out. In verse 31, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed him about him to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out and said, what? Lord, help him. And God moved them to depart from him. In the midst of a storm of what we're going through, we need to what? Cry out and say what? Lord, help me. Amen. Because he's a God that hear and answer prayer. So back to chapter 20. Now Jehoshaphat, after that, he went back to Jerusalem. And verse chapter 19, it talks about he goes back and he sets order in his house. He's getting the judges together, and he's doing what a leader should do. He's getting all his leaders together. He's minding his own business. And lo and behold, here the Ammonites, they're coming up against him. That's why we have to pray for our leaders, amen? Because there are enemies that's sitting, amen, in the balance just waiting to come up against them. And verse 3, it says, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Now, here is a leader that has gone through and saw how God has saved his life. But here he is, he's going through something else. And he was like, oh, my God, if it ain't one thing another. And the Bible said he's feared. When we first begin to go through things, sometimes what do? We fear. And how many know it's okay? But in his fearing, he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah because he knew where his help came from. And verse 4, it says, And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So when you and I are going through the very trials of our life, when things and tests and temptations come our way, we need to position ourselves, though we may be afraid for a moment, but we need to know that our help come from God, and if we know our help come from God, then we need to inquire of the Lord. Amen. And here is Jehoshaphat again. Yes, he might have been afraid, but he did what he always does. He inquired of the Lord. Amen. He called a fast. And verse 5 says, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heaven of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? See, Jehoshaphat was a king, and only priests at that time, they could, you know, offer up burnt incense. But the kings, they had the ability to, I guess, preach and to prophesy. And he was taking his position, how all the people had come together, and he began to cry out to the Lord and to remind him. And so some of you and I need to do the same thing. As we find ourselves asking for help of the Lord, we need to put some things in remembrance according to the word. That's why it's important that we have the word in our heart, that we may not sin against thee. Amen. That's why it's important that we have the word in us, so when the trials come, we know what to speak out. Verse 7 says, art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? Did not you do this, God? And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if an evil come upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction. Then thou wilt what? And do what? Then thou will hear and thou will help. So you and I need to be encouraged on this morning that though we may be afraid, though there may be tests, though there may be trials that come in our life, we need to position ourselves to inquire of the Lord and put him in remembrance. He's the same God. Put him in remembrance and say, now, God, I seen you do this for this and for this person. And I know what your word says. And your word says that I can have this. Your word says that I am healed. Your word says that I am free. Your word says that I am the head and not the tail. Your word says that I am above and not beneath. The word says that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And so when we get the word, when the tests and the trials come, when we begin to inquire of the Lord, it is so key that we get the word. We begin to put the word in his remembrance. Amen. Verse 10 says, and now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. See, when they came out of Israel, they could have took them long time ago. But there was a word saying, no, don't do this. And they destroyed them now, but lo and behold, they got a nerve now to come back after them. Sometimes with people, the very people you help are some of the same ones that will come back and step on you. Some of the same people that, yeah, they may look little in your eyes, that you might say that, oh, I can handle this. I can go ahead and take them out. And the Lord said, no, don't mess with them. These are the same folk that will talk about you, the same folk that will criticize you, the same folk that you are praying for are some of the same folk, amen, that wish that you weren't around. Verse 11 says, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit it. You've given us this land to inherit, and how dare they come and take something that you've given us? How dare, amen, you are doing all that you were supposed to do, and how dare a spirit of affliction, how dare, amen, your finances run out? How dare they get rid of you on your job? How dare you go through anything that you are contending with on today? But, O our God, would thou not judge them? That's a word. You do it. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Hallelujah. Look up and say, our eyes, Lord, are upon thee. And I don't care what you are contending with or what you are dealing with. If your eyes remain upon him. The Bible says they are more with us than are against us. The Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Amen. I want you to be encouraged this morning to know that help is on the way. And the Bible says in verse 13, it says, and all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. See, when they all came out, they bought the whole family. They said, look, God, if you don't do it, it won't be done. If you don't do it, God, it won't be done. And I think sometimes, you know, even as parents and even as people in general, when we go through the very trials of our life, don't try to hide what you're going through. Don't try to be wonderful or look like, oh, you know, there's nothing. No, tell it. Now, you may not have to tell all the details, but it's good that your children see because they can, you're developing testimonies. And I think that's what's wrong with this generation today. They fear not God because there are no testimonies. When there's a struggle in the home, you need, come on, kids, let's get together. Let's pray. The kids need to know about the struggle so when God bring you out, they'll know that it was God's doing. It was marvelous in their sight. It wasn't because daddy got another job, mama got another job, and everything is cool, because then that's the way that they will pattern their lives. We just need to get out and make it happen because God don't do it. No. Tell them that the struggle is real. Tell them. I never forget, there was a time I was out with the kids, and I was like, no, we can't get that, or no, we don't have any money for that. And Charisma looked at me. She said, don't tell me we're running out of money. We? But there's times we don't need to keep things from our children. We need to let them in on the struggles, the things that we're going through. Let them come together in prayer. Amen. So when we see God unveil or reveal himself in that situation, testimonies are established. But here they are saying, our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord in verse 13 with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Amen, amen. Don't count anyone out in redeeming love, because there's a word that could come out in the midst of the congregation. That's why we got to live right. That's why we got to treat one another right. So when you get up and speak, people can receive from you. Amen. Verse 15 said, and he said, hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, I want you to go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Zid. He was giving them instruction. This is the way they're coming up. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Verse 17 says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Our pastor told us, he said, all you need is a word from the Lord. All you need is one word from the Lord. It's not what it looks like, but it's what his word says it is. And so as I am coming to an end this morning, as I was praying and preparing, the Lord gave me three different areas that he want to help us in on this morning. He said, I want to help those in debt. He said, I want to help those that are in defeated situations. And you can be defeated from a doctor's report. You can be defeated. You might feel like defeated on your job or whatever situation that you might be feeling like you're defeated in. And those that are, he gave me the word disgusted. You know, you come in here, we look all wonderful, but you are disgusted with yourself. You disgusted with life. You disgusted because you may have felt like you need to be further along. You just in a disgusted state. I better say that word. You're just in a disgusted state. And as I begin to pray and intercede, and I say, well, I know our pastor always tells us that we need to have some scriptures, you know, when the Lord starts speaking. And he immediately said, he says, no man anything but debt when he, for those that are in debt, he said, owe no man anything but to love, according to Romans 13 and 8. And so if God spoke a word and said he want to deliver us out of debt because my house, your house, you've come and you've given to the work of the Lord. And so now we stand in a facility that's debt free. So God said, I want you debt free. How many of you can receive that? God wants you debt free. He wants to help us to become debt free. Amen. He's going to help us. I feel it by the Spirit of God. He's going to help supernatural. So I don't want you to try to figure it out. He's just going to do it. He's going to do it. Amen. He's going to help those that are defeated on this morning. Pastor always say Calvary looked like it was a defeated situation. But the Bible says for the joy that was set before him, he what? He endured the cross. Because he knew there was victory on the other side. And the Bible says in John 18 and 36, when Jesus answered, I think this was Pontius Pilate at the time, or Herod, he said, my kingdom is not this of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews? But now is my kingdom not from hence. Jesus was letting them know, no, I have to go through this. I have to go through this. You and I, we have to go through this because it's what's on the other side. It's the glory that shall be revealed. And if we never go through anything, then there's no glory. If I've never gone through anything, I couldn't stand before you today. If I wasn't in the midst of a trial, I wouldn't be able to stand. I don't know how I'm doing it, but I'm standing today. I'm not standing in the power of my might. I'm standing in the power of his might on today because he must get the glory. He must get the glory. But he said, I want to deliver. And so those of you, first of all, that are dealing in those three areas, I want you to come this morning. Amen. I want you to come this morning. If you're dealing with debt, defeat, and feeling disgusted, I want you to come. The Lord is our help on today. And if he sent a word, he wants to do it. We don't have to try to have to figure it out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He does miracles so well. Hallelujah. He does miracles so well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to know that the battlefield, it is in our mind. He's Diabolos, the rock thrower. And so some of you just like, I'm coming up here. I've been coming up here since I've been coming to Redeeming Love. And it seemed like things ain't changed. He's Diabolos. He's the rock thrower. He's the accuser of the brethren. And so take the responsibility off of you today. Look up to the hills from which cometh your help. Our help comes from God on today. Hallelujah. The Lord said to me yesterday, he said, I'm going to slay the giant of disbelief. Our pastor told us, he said, sight allows us to process what we see. But vision allows us to focus of what we saw. The kingdom can alter the facts because he is truth. So many of you may be standing and say, well, you don't understand. I got this debt. You don't understand. I'm feeling this way. You don't understand. I'm facing this situation. But God can alter. The king can alter the facts. He can alter the facts this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to pray with you this morning, but I want to just go ahead and speak everything that he told me. In Romans 8 and 15, he said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Fear sometimes grip us from believing what the word says. What did fear come to Jehoshaphat? Even though he had saw how the Lord had delivered him in times past, but here he had to go through another trial. Another enemy came out against him. There's another enemy that has come up against us. But we're not going to fear. We're not going to fear today, but we're going to walk in faith. And just by a step of faith, you came today believing and trusting in God. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to look up to the hills from which cometh your help on today. Hallelujah, because he does miracles so well. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, even now, as these that are under the sound of my voice, God, you spoke. You said what you said you wanted to do in the group of the believers on today, God. God, you said you wanted those that were in debt, those that looked like they were in a defeated situation, oh God, and those that were just disgusted. And God, even now as we cry out unto you, God, the author and finisher of our faith, God, we look up to you and we cry out for help. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, oh God. Help, God, help. Help. I need you here to see. I need to hear you say help. Thank you, Jesus. Because God, if we could have done it, it would have been done a long time ago. But evidently this giant is too far, too great, too big. But God, you the giant slayer on today. You are bombing Gilead on today. And so, Father, I speak over your people on today, God. God, where they've been in debt, oh God. You said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. And so, Father, I speak prosperity over your people on today, oh God. God, I pray, oh God, for divine appointments, oh God. I pray, oh God, that you begin to move even on their behalf. I pray, oh God, that you would breathe on their finances. And God, where there have been little in lack, oh God, God, I speak increase now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray even now for those, oh God, Lord God, that are due, Lord God, raises even on their jobs. Oh God, though where it's been held up, God, I pray that you would release now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray where there's not been recognition, oh God, Lord God, that there was not been compensation, oh God. God, I speak it in the atmosphere in the name of Jesus. God, I pray even now for the wisdom of God that would come upon your people. So when you give it to them, oh God, they would know what to do, oh God, that they will be obedient, oh God. If you say give, they will give, oh God. If you say save, they will save, God. And Lord, I pray that the enemy that has come to suck, to steal, kill, and destroy, and keep them, Lord God, from entering in and having more than enough. God, we bind it now in the name of Jesus. We render every opposition inoperable now in the name of Jesus. And God, we loose even now the spirit of wisdom. Let the spirit of wisdom flow on your people today, God. Open up the eyes of their understanding, oh God, that they would know the breadth, the height, the depth, oh God, of your scriptures, oh God, that they would know what to do in season and out of season. They will know why the increase has come and what they should do with it, oh God. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. God, I speak even now, Lord, for those that feel like they've been defeated. I call forth champions now. I call forth the champion in my brothers and my sisters, oh God. You said that we've overcome by the word of the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so, Father, I thank you for the champions, oh God. I thank you that you are moving them, oh God, from the place of defeat, oh God, to a place of being a champion, oh God, to a place. Let them know that they are seated in heavenly places like Christ Jesus. Let them know, oh God, that they are the head and not the tail. And God, help them to rise to the occasion, oh God, and to see themselves the way you see them, oh God. Even in the spirit, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And to those that are feeling disgusted, God, I speak a word of content upon them now. And God, according to your scripture, you said, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man should do unto me. And so, Father, I pray for contentment upon my brothers and my sisters, oh God. I pray, oh God, that we will relax our whole, we will rest in you, that we will not compare ourselves to no one, oh God, but let the word be our measurement. Let the word be our guide, oh God. Let us be found guilty, oh God, comparing ourselves to the scripture, oh God, lining our lives up with the scripture, oh God, because we are fearfully and we are wonderfully made in your image, oh God. Oh God, we cry for help today, God. Help us, God. Help us, oh God. Because if you don't help us, it will not be done. If you don't do it, God, it cannot be done, oh God. It cannot be done, oh God. It will not be done, oh God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, God. Glory to your name, oh God. God, let faith arise. 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 Let faith arise, let faith arise, let faith arise,
let faith arise.
Oh, as faith begins to rise, this enemy that you see today, you will not see again. You will not see again today. Oh, Rabashata. Oh, Rabashata. Oh, Rabashata. Oh, Rabashata.
Let faith arise.
Glory to your name.
Let faith arise.